Okay, welcome back. It's Saturday, and I said I would post on Friday. If you're one of the dedicated listeners, I apologize for that. This is Addiction and Redemption, episode 27-ish. And again, my name is Dave Keenis. The reason I didn't release on Friday is because the podcast hosting company changed things around, and so the episodes are being released in a different way, and so not as many are getting downloaded, so I wanted to give it an opportunity to soak in. So it's Saturday, and you might not listen to this till Monday, or you might hear it at some point in like 2024, who knows. This is fun. This is why podcasting's fun, because you just get the file and then you release it, and then it's basically out there forever, for always. So again, this is Addiction Redemption. I'm Dave Keenest, and just going to plug the show. I think I plugged in the last episode. Fascinating Talks coming up real soon. Interviewed a ton of really cool people. Got a really cool guest today for next week, and that will be fun. So sit tight for that, and I'm just going to continue with the story. So we left off that, like, I'm in jail, and I got into jail. They put me in this really bad, nasty cell, and it was just, it's just the worst place on earth. I mean, literally, like, shy of maybe physical torture. I mean, definitely, like, you know, an Auschwitz prison would have been much worse, or some prison in, like, the third world, or a Russian prison is way worse than this. But, you know, Cook County jail cells are not nice places. Cook County is not a really particularly nice place as far as crime is concerned. There are very serious crimes committed there. And so I'm locked up, and I can't remember how it went at first. There was just me, and then I think I was in this cell with this, like, really huge black dude who was kind of scary, and they came and grabbed me after a couple of hours, and they put me into this other cell, and there's this crazy, crazy, crazy guy in there with me. And you got to figure, the cells, I mean, it's not that small. It's maybe like, I don't know, 15 by 10 or something. It's meant to hold like more than one person. I don't know if it's that big, but it's a decent size, and it's just got like this bench, this like concrete bench, and then just this toilet sink thing. I talked a few episodes ago about how the toilet is intimately connected with the sink. So there's one of those contraptions going on too, and this toilet is just every bit as nasty, if not nastier, than the last one I talked about. But I'm in there with just this like super disgustingly filthy. I mean, he just reeked like feces and urine and just grease and BO. It just like the just imagine the worst BO that the worst that a human could smell. Just imagine actually like the worst an animal could smell. I'm in a cell with this guy, and so I'm trying to distance myself. Now, mind you, I am sick. I am jonesing. I am out of drugs. The drugs have worn off. There's nothing good about my situation. I got locked up at maybe 11 in the morning. I think I probably took the 9:20 train down, or the 9:30 train down. I probably got busted at like 11. So I was in there probably by noon. And by now it's like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And darkness has sort of fallen upon it, and you can't really see anything, but you just get this sense that like the day has passed, and it felt like an eternity. And I spent the next, let me see, let's say it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I spent the next 11 or 12 hours at least in this cell with this guy. And I remember like trying to get my I remember, like, again, like, being entitled and like, knocking on the window and being like, hey, guard, like, could you please come over here? And being like, yo, can I get a newspaper? And the cop's just like, no. He just goes, no. Just like that, no. You know, it just keeps going. Like, just imagine the accent of a Chicago police officer and the arrogance of a Chicago police officer And, you know, imagine a guy like Detective Stabler on SVU, that kind of cocky arrogance, but without any glamour. You know, just like a normal person who's, you know, probably part of, you know, could be a cop from generations back. And there's just a way that Chicago cops do things. And it was this sense of just being stripped of any sense of semblance of humanity. And I'm just in there with this crazy schizophrenic nut job. And he kept screaming racial stuff at the police. Shut up, N-word, you goddamn fucking N-words. And it was like he was so crazy that he didn't even piss anybody off because they all knew how crazy he was. And I just had to sit in this cell with this dude. And you got to figure it's kind of like a hallway, and there's maybe three or four cells on each side of the hallway. And I'm in, like, the first one that's, like, closest to where the cops hang out. And I just hear this screaming from, like, one of the cells in the back. And it's just this guy going, please. It was this really high-pitched scream, like, please. Like that. And if you go and you read the story, one of the lines if you read the story of that I wrote about this on my WordPress site, one of the lines that I say regarding him was that I'd never heard the word please mean so much. Because he was sick or there was something going on or he had some medical issue and he just kept going, please help me, I'm gonna die. And the cops were just like, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up, you piece of shit. And they just didn't care. They didn't listen. And like I said, I never heard the word please mean so much. And the hours passed. And I'm just trying to make myself comfortable, and I can't get comfortable. And I'm coming off these drugs, and these ants are marching inside of my veins. These ants are marching into my brain. These ants are inside of my eyeballs, and they're just swirling around, and they're just doing these things, and I just can't get comfortable. And the only thing I have is this concrete bench and this pair of Vans, this dirty-ass pair of shoes to rest my head on. And this crazy ass racist schizophrenic roommate. And I don't know what he might do. And this guy down the hall screaming, please help me, please help me, please help me, please help me, please help me. And the hours went by. And I can just sense that it's been like a day, like the whole day, and that the evening has then passed. And I remember you could hear the Bears game over this sort of radio at some point as well. And so that was like the only connection I had to the outside world was like the radio that the police were listening to the Bears game on. And it was fucked up, man. This is like one of the most fucked up situations of my entire life. And I eventually heard, like, the police take the guy who was screaming and move him, like take him to the hospital. I kind of looked up and I glanced, and they were, like, escorting him down the hallway, and they finally took care of him. And a couple hours later, they brought him back, and they put him in the cell with me. And so now it's me and he's this really little guy. He's, like, maybe 5'4", just this really little skinny guy. It's me and him and the crazy guy. And I'm like, well, what the fuck is going on? And he had some serious, like, diabetic issue or something really bad that he was telling me about. And I asked him what he got caught for, and he said that he got basically entrapped at a dope spot. So, like, he went to a dope spot to buy some dope and didn't even buy any, and they just arrested him. And that's what they'll do. They'll just arrest you and have you sorted out with a lawyer later. Often, not always, but they don't give a fuck. If they see you down there and they've seen you before and you're white in these neighborhoods, they know that you're there for one thing, and very often they'll just pick you up and take you in. Maybe plant something on you, who knows. But so him and I kind of buddied up, and they came around with bologna sandwiches at like, it was like 4 a.m, and they just came through the cell block and they just opened this little door. You know, it's maybe like 6 inches by like 8 inches. They just open this little door and they just hand these like bologna sandwiches through the slot. And I, at this point, I can't even eat. And the homeless guy, the crazy schizophrenic guy, like grabs him and he starts eating them. And as he's eating them, he rests them on the edge of the toilet. So he's resting these sandwiches on the edge of this disgusting, filthy, god awful, just, you know, disease-ridden toilet. And he's just sitting there next to the toilet as if the toilet's like a table. And he's just snacking on these bologna sandwiches. And you could read about this if you read the whole story, too. But then he just, like, gets up and just shits in the toilet. And then, like, right in front of me. And then just leaves it in there and doesn't flush it and just doesn't wipe himself. And just, you know, this is the human I am bonding with in this experience. You know, and I think about it now, and it's like the sense of compassion that I have for people and whatever they've been through. Like, you never know what a person has been through that has led up to them doing something that you don't like or saying something that you don't like, or behaving in a way that you don't approve of. You just don't know the story of what goes on, like of what led up to that. And as a result of me being put through this situation, I just have this sense of like compassion. Like, where's that diabetic guy? What happened to him? Did he get clean? He wasn't a bad soul. He wasn't a bad person. I remember we talked. We bonded, we connected human to human. He was not a bad soul. There was not meanness in him. And that's not the case with everyone in there. It's just not. Not, you know, a lot of the people that were locked up are bad people, but a lot of the people are good people. The good people still committed crimes, and I was one of them. So it's like 4 a.m. and snack, you know, I couldn't eat, and this guy's just eating this bologna, and we're starting to make small talk, and then I hear like this cop arrive, like I hear like banter in the cop like front office, and I knew that what was happening was that they were coming to like transport us. So I've now been in this cell from probably noon until 5 a.m. So that's like 12, that's like 17 hours. I'm just sitting in this concrete cell with this crazy person on this bench, going insane, thinking about what I did, wondering how this all happened. And like the worst was yet to come. Like, this day was not over. And at some point, I called my mom because there's like a phone mounted to the wall. It's not a phone. It's just like a panel that has like old fashioned phone buttons. And at some point I called my mom to let her know what happened. And it actually shows up on the caller ID as Cook County Jail. Like, that's what my mother sees. She just sees Cook County Jail. And it's just me in a jail cell. And she's just freaking out. I mean, what do you say to your mother? What do you do? You know, what is there to say? I'm the worst son in the world. I could not have betrayed you any more than I have. I am a piece of fucking garbage. I'm ashamed. I'm so ashamed. And I'm just going to leave it at that, and we'll pick up with more of The Longest Day. So we've actually taken three episodes on this one particular episode, but I think it's relevant. So, me as a prisoner. It's interesting because most people know I'm a surfer, and I don't think a soul or a spirit can be more free, can be freer than they are when they're riding down the face of a wave. So a spirit can be no more free, rather, when it is riding down the face of a wave. There's just no freedom like that. You know, and a lot of people will talk about motorcycles, how that gives them their freedom when they get on their bike. And that's what I experience when I'm in the ocean. And it's just this really interesting juxtaposition between the ultimate freedom that I've managed to create now at this point in my life and the fact that I was literally a prisoner. That there was absolutely nothing free about the way that I was living. And I wasn't just a slave and a prisoner to the drugs. I was literally a prisoner, like in the system, locked up, handcuffs, metal bars, crazy people. So thanks again for listening. I'll tune in soon with a new episode and have a beautiful night. Dave Keenest, Addiction and Redemption.